Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Morris. Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. And tonight's broadcast will be entitled, Who Are the True Ancestors of Jesus Christ? We have a guest this evening, Dr. Ishmael L. Muhammad Bay. I've just received a phone call from him. He told me that he is having to take care of a little business, and he'll be coming on shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to go forward with the broadcast, and we will recognize him when he arrives. I'll start with the announcements. First of all, for those of you who are new, and we have just added some new friends, we are offering at no charge to you the 14th Amendment Exposed and also the Commerce Game and How to Play. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. And that's spelled tahaka99@yahoo.com. And we'll get that to you as an email attachment. And you can look that over because there's a great deal of valuable information in there. Also, we have created one of the most comprehensive libraries inside the United States. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me by telephone. Area code 904-303-9061, and we can get that to you. Now, this library contains a great deal of information on the Moors, and for those of you who are doing your study and research and what have you, that is a wonderful tool that you use right there in the privacy of your home, and it's something that you can leave to your children, because every man, in my opinion, every man should have a library in his home, and something that his children can go to and reference. We need to have upgraded information in there because knowledge is power, and we want to be able to access that. So in order for you to access that, you simply contact me at area code 904-303-9061, and we'll get that to you. Also, we are in several different places on the Internet, and our broadcast and other printed materials for your education purposes is put in different places. We have access to our Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you can hit us up. Black Planet, MySpace, Dig, StumbleUpon, all of these places we are. If you have a Facebook page, send me your friend request, and I will go ahead and grant that, and you can have access to the wall. And you'll have access to our Tahaka's Institute as well as our Tahaka Moorish American group where we teach by video. And so just keep that in mind whenever you are there. We're trying to make sure that there are places that you can go and access the materials at ease and continue your education, because we need to know who we are. We need to know our culture, our story, as well as his story. I am Dr. Tahaka Amana L. Bay, Divine Minister of the Moorish American National Government, Swift Angel 31. And my job is to educate the brothers and sisters here inside the United States and everywhere else they are of Moorish descent, and make every effort to bring them in the constitutional fold of government. For those of you who want to know more about the Moorish American National Government, you simply go to MoorishAmericanGov.org. That's MoorishAmericanGov.org. You can go to SevenSealsPublications.com. That's SevenSealsPublications, with an S, .com. And there's an abundance of information there, as well as a registration form so that you can register to be a citizen of your own government. It's right there. It's a little short form. And but before you click send, go ahead and look at the little bottom box down there and add all your family members, your children, your grandchildren, your uncles, your cousins, sisters, brothers, their children, their grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren, everybody. List it all right there on that. Then click send, and that way everybody will be listed as being a part of your own government, the Moorish American National Government. Now, this evening, we will be making attempts to answer the following. Who are the true ancestors of Jesus Christ? Who are the Moors? Why are there African pyramids found all over the Americas today? Where are the true holy lands mentioned in the Bible? What is a nation? Why are the Moors considered Negro, colored, black, etc. today? Who are the real Americans? Does Christianity harm people of African descent in America today? What does North, Central, and South America have to do with ancient Egypt in the Bible? These questions and more will be answered tonight as I present Dr. Ishmael L. Muhammad Bey, and he will be coming on shortly. But in the meantime, what we are going to do here now is we're going to break the ice, so to speak, and shed some light on things. So if you would just sit back and listen to what this brother had to say, then we will come in after it is over and continue the broadcast.
And I'm sorry, the black historians with their egos about Egypt being on the Nile, now they're stuck on the Nile, now they're scared to get on the Atlantic and come across to the Americans and find the rest of the Egypt. I'm sorry, eventually you'll get there, but we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And with the youth coming up, I want you to know that it's there. So you can now go forward. You won't get stuck in neutral. You can now go forward and find the rest of the African history and find that you and the Americas 22,000 B.C. and building cities and having nation building and doing everything in the Americas from then up until now. So
indeed,
when Amun named that land the beautiful land, the word for beautiful Mary, M-A-R-E in some spellings, Mary, and the land means Ta, the land of beautiful land, Ta Mary. And Ta Mary is still applied to the land. And just as the ancient Africans said, there is a north land and a south land. Now we have north Ta Mary and south Ta Mary. We simply move the Ta to the end of the word and call it America. South America, North America, you're living in the land that was named by Egypt. Here are your Moors who are named from Ta Mary, from the M and the R. You get your Moor. So even in the ancient African literature called biblical, you find Amorites, Amorites who lived on the north side of the Amazon River and went all the way up through Venezuela, what is now called Colombia, Guyana, all of that. Now we're going to get you a little deeper, something I haven't told before, because that land is also called Syria. Here is your Asia. So when you hear brothers talking about, oh, you know, that's an Asiatic term. You're not African. Dude, Asia was Africa. They're all in the same place. These are Africans. You don't know that the Phoenicians are Africans. You don't know that their city Tyre is sitting right there off of Venezuela on that island that's connected by a man-made causeway, because you did not read that Alexander the Great built that causeway out to capture Tyre. You don't know that that national forest is there that's hiding the ruins still have Tyre's name in it. You have not deciphered that Venezuela is Phoenicia.
Wow.
Phoenicia. The way you find your ancient landscapes and geography is to find the cities. If you want to know where Phoenicia was, find the major cities of Phoenicia. Want to know where major Asia was? Find the major cities that were given for Asia in ancient times. Once you find Miletus there, once you find Antioch there, once you find Tyre sitting there, once you find Tyre's old name, Cora, sitting on the mainland where Tyre was at first, once you go around and find Akit, that's now Caracas, and you see these other places and see Guyana, which they changed the name of, was Sayana or Sinai. Once you find the places, then you know where the ancient writings are talking about. And now you're ready to discuss and have a lively and fruitful discussion. Don't get tied up in terms, because you don't know your terms until you go back and find your geography.
Okay. That was some very, very interesting stuff, and that goes against the grain of most of what we were taught as people of Moorish descent, of African descent inside the United States of America. Here's a brother placing cities that has been described in your Bible, and most of us think that these cities exist only on the African continent. But here's a man who has done an extensive investigation, who have actually went there and found overwhelming evidence to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that the lands described in your Bible at a certain point in time are right here. What he also said is that prior to the first century, where we have Jesus Christ, those who use the name Jesus Christ, prior to that, 21,000 years earlier, the people of African descent were coming back and forth to this continent. They built cities. They recorded different events, different places, different struggles, and everything. Right here in North America, Central America, and South America. Now, we're going to continue this this evening, but before we do, let me do another announcement for those of you who are just tuning in. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El-Bey, and today's title of this broadcast is Who Are the True Ancestors of Jesus Christ? And we're going to get down into that, and our guest will be arriving soon. Dr. Ishmael Muhammad Bey will be our guest this evening on the broadcast. But in the meantime, I want to go ahead and give us a few more announcements before I bring in another live feed, before the brother comes in. I'm not sure exactly when he's going to come in here, but he will be with us as soon as possible. I want to state for those of you who are familiar with the government and those of you who are not, The Divine Minister and Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American National Government has placed one of the most powerful books out in recorded history, especially on the landmass. And the first book is entitled Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation. And the way you get access to that book is simply by going to moorishamericangov.org, or you can go to sevensealspublications.com and you can get a hold of that book. He's also, his latest book is The Book of Ali, and you can also get that book at the same places. And these books, I must tell you, I have them in my possession, and they contain everything that you would need as a Moorish American to be free in this country and everywhere else on the planet, if you would just get a hold of this information. Also, I would like to add that they have a national conference call. The Moorish American National Government has a conference call that you can access 7 days a week. And they are teaching there on these national conference calls. And the number to dial in at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is 760-569-7100. And the access code is 437-966-pound. And you dial that number and access that code, and you are recorded as being a participant in your government. And on Wednesday night, the Divine Minister himself is teaching. He also teaches on other nights as well. But we know for a fact that on Wednesday night he teaches there. And then we have the ladies' night that happens on Tuesday night, and it's that same number, 760-569-7100. And the access code is 437-966-pound. And that is 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is the time to dial in to that broadcast. Also, I want to say a little bit more about the library that we have created. We found that people are spending a great deal of money going out and purchasing different books, and they make mistakes a lot of times. A lot of us will purchase a book based on the cover of the book or what we think is the context of the book, and that is not the way it should go. What we are looking for is information that we can use that will set us free or provide something or give us something that we can actually use as a tool toward freedom or to gain access to information that we can actually use. A lot of times people will go out and purchase books and based on something that somebody has said and this, that, and the other, to get in and read it. Well, you know, it was great. You know, it was a good read and stuff, but I don't know how I can take that and actually use it to change my circumstances. So what we have done is we have created a library. And in this particular library, we painstakingly gathered the information inch by inch and placed it there for your education and purpose that will lean toward your deliverance and your true education. There's no worthless information there. There's only a valuable information that you can use. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me, Tahaka Amana LB, by telephone, 904-303-9061. Okay? And for those of you who are on Facebook and all the other social sites, if you would send me your friend request, I will go ahead and grant that, and that will give you access to my wall, that will give you access to Hawkins Institute, where your education materials are placed. And so far lately here, we've been placing a lot of materials and getting stuff out by radio broadcast. But we are going to place some new, fresh materials there in a printed form that you can take and use and print out for yourself and your family members and actually use that. Okay? We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, we're on Dig, Black Planet, MySpace, Drop Squad. And for those of you who have my library, if you haven't been to Blog Talk Radio on there, every show that I do is placed there on automatic feed. Okay? Now we're finna go into a very, very heavy segment, And the brother that you are listening to is a brother called Horace Butler. He is the author of a book called When Rocks Cry Out. And I want you to pay very, very close attention. We do plan to get the brother on the broadcast live. I've already sent him information to see if we can get him here. But in the meantime, we're going to go on the automatic feed and see if we can get him here, okay?
Spitting every description that they gave, and then he has this little secret thing about it. When you look on his head, you see he's got this white cowl on his head, and underneath that white cowl is a little small red cap. Now, they'll try to say that's about the assassins or the assassins. No, no, you got to understand, Mexico is Lower Egypt. That's where Memphis was, and when you're the king of Memphis, your crown is red. And I'm thinking they're trying to show him secretly that this is Montezuma. They said Montezuma is this medium-built man, and they talked about the beard that he has as that shape, and they're talking about he's black, and then others say very dark-complected. And I'm looking at the Moorish chief, and I'm not seeing anything that does not agree with the descriptions that they give of Montezuma. And I'm saying, well, now we got a problem. We, you know, Aztecs are Indians. That's what I was told. But now I've got Martha Malakou's education under my belt, and in the book of Ivan Van Sertima, he talks about those two expeditions, those two voyages of ships that came out of Senegambia. He's talking about those 500 ships and those 2,000 ships that went across in 1306 and again in 1311 looking for the first group of ships, or about those years. Now, we have those ships coming across the Atlantic from West Africa, and then they say there is no record of what happened to them, except now I'm in the Americas. I'm in Mexico. I'm looking in the records that the friars put together when they talked to these Africans there whose histories were being destroyed as soon as they took over that land. They were just burning them in the street, piling up the books, and yet, here is this friar, here's this Bernardino Sahagún who's come in and he's earned that trust, and they said, well, we got a couple of books they didn't get. And so he's recreating the histories that Spain and the church thought they had destroyed. And so he's rewriting them all over again, and he's showing these Aztecs as blacks with African features. And now it gets a little better, because he's also talking about the conversation that Montezuma had with Cortez. And now here is Cortez also putting in his journal the conversation he had with Montezuma. And here is Castillo. He's putting in the conversation that Cortez had with Montezuma. And here are these other writers, and they're putting in this conversation that Montezuma is having with Cortez. And I thought it was unbelievable that Montezuma is sitting right there, this black African in this Moorish clothing with this little red cap on, because he's really the king of Memphis. And he's sitting there and he says, well, you know, my father and my grandfathers say that we are not of this land. He said very clearly to Cortez, we are strangers here. We come across that sea in ships. And we landed at the city of Panuco, right south of Texas. And we came in, and people really didn't want to have much to do with us. But we found out how to work politics, and we started making some alliances. And before they knew it, we had become the most powerful group. And now we are the powerful group. And then we came, and we found this island and built our capital on it in 1325 A.D. Now, we have 500 ships, and then 2,000 ships leaving out of West Africa in 1306, 1311. They're crossing the Atlantic. Nobody knows what happened to them. And here the Aztecs are saying, and we arrived about that same time, and our ships coming from over there where the sun rise, and we came in, and now they're being painted in their books as blacks, as Africans. And so the white scholars who then got control started explaining things, and they started saying things like, well, you know, when they came in, they started looking for the symbol of a cactus with a with an eagle standing on the cactus clutching a serpent in his claw. That's, I wish I could tell you what that really was, but that's not the truth. These Africans already knew that other Africans had built cities in the Americas. That's why they were coming over here. And now they were looking for that other West African nation called Memphis. And the symbol of Memphis was because Upper Egypt, the eagle, had defeated the Lower Egypt, which was the symbol of the serpent, and Dan was the serpent, like the Dan people in West Africa. And so the symbol of the United Kingdom was this serpent being held in the claw of this eagle. And they knew at Memphis that symbol would be there. And when they found that island with those columns broke down and with these symbols of Egypt on it, they knew where they were. And they started rebuilding Memphis, the capital city that they now call Tenochtitlan, the Aztec capital, actually is an African capital built on the top of ancient Memphis, the other West African capital that was built there in Mexico. So here we go. So now we have the understanding that Martha Malakou had given me from Ivan Van Sertima's book about these ships coming over. Now we've got Hernan Cortez's letters talking about the conversation with Montezuma saying, and we arrived in these ships, not across the Pacific from the Orient, as so many professors try to tell you now. He said we came across that one, where the sun rises. We came from that direction and came over. Well, Asia's not over there. Africa is over there. So now we have these Africans coming in. Now, here's the deal. Hernando Cortez stops by the Yucatan Peninsula before he comes in, and he picks up a woman to help translate so he can know the secret language and know what they're going to do, and she's going to interpret it for him. Poor sister tore up the American African nations with what she did, but she did for a reason. They had expelled her from this city some years before, took her from grace, disgraced her, and now she wanted revenge. And so they recruited her, and she came in, and she was telling them everything they were saying secretly that they thought Cortez and these Spaniards could not understand. But they kept calling this woman Marina. But really, they were also calling her Malinche. And it wasn't until I got another piece of understanding that was coming out of West Africa that says, when you talk about Mandinka, the Fulani called them Malinche. They were calling this woman Mandinka the entire time. Malinche. Malinche, what they say. Malinche, do this. She's a Mandinka. She has come from Mexico City, where these other Africans were building their capital city on that island. So now we have Fulani in the area. We have Mandinka in the area. We have the book showing them as blacks and with African features. We have Montezuma saying, we arrived in ships coming from across the Atlantic. And we came in the 1300s and built this capital in 1325, just a few years after those ships left out of West Africa. Oh, we have Africans now. And then it got very, very nice when I found these forbidden histories that they wrote, that the Bernardino Sahagún put back together, that they had destroyed, and then it confiscated these records and kept them in a monastery for about 300 years, hid them, and finally they came back out. But he had recreated the histories of the Americas. And here this friar was, writing what these Africans were telling them about the history, and they said, well, you have to understand that even the Olmecs, when they came over, you know, they came with this pharaoh, and they call him Naharka, but we know Taharka's name when we hear it, even if they change the T to an N. It's Naharka, it's Taharka, and he's dead, and he's coming to be buried in this area. But they said that the man that's leading this expedition is the African whose name is Meci, M-E-C-I. And now we have the meaning of Mexico, because they were first called after this African, the land of Meci, and the land of is, of course, Ko and Ka and Ta and those kinds of terms. And so Mexico, Meci's land became Mexico, and now we say Mexico. It's named after that African, Meci. And there it was in the records that this prior, Bernardino Sahagún, had assembled. That's why they were called the Forbidden Histories. Blacks were never to know these again. So now we're in Mexico. We have that part. But then the Aztecs say, but all these pyramids there in the nearby great city, right here beside us, we don't know who built those, and I want to know who they were. Well, I've got the West Africans in, but now we've got some pyramids that's looking a lot like Egypt. So I went and asked Egypt. I started checking their records to ask them, do y'all know anything about the Americas? Have you written anything? I mean, if you build a city like Heliopolis in the Americas, I figure you're going to write about it. And they did. And I saw so much in those records. One of the first things I saw were the writings that said, you know what, and we would go to this great pyramid, and we would ascend the double staircase and receive our crown as Pharaoh. Well, the great pyramid on the Nile in Northeast Africa doesn't have stair steps going up it. It doesn't have temples on top of its summits. They could not go and break through the boat on the temples atop those great pyramids. There are none there. And that was the clue that Egypt was writing about the Americas. And the deeper I got into the records, the clearer it got. They started actually saying, and because Amun loved that land so much, he said it's his beloved land, and that word was Meri, the beloved, Meri, M-E-R-I, Meri. And the land, of course, as before, is Ta. So you have the land, the beloved land, Ta Meri. And they kept that name and just put the Ta on the end of it. So Ta Meri became a Meri Ta. We simply say a Meri Ta. The name that Egypt gave to the Americas. So that was the big mystery behind that $10 million map that Martin Waldseemüller made and then put the name America on it in 1507. And then those who knew and those who were trying to hide things said, wait a minute, you can't put that name on here. And the next time he reprinted that map, it was off. It was gone. Because that's the name that Egypt had given the land, Tameri. That's where America came from. So now I have Egypt writing about the Americas, but they go further. They don't just talk about we named the Americas. They said where it was. They said our founders, Amun them, Osiris, Isis, all of these. Of course, they used those other names, you know, the Asa and the Aset. And so they said they are in the West. And all over the monuments, they talked about Osiris and said he is foremost of the Westerners, which means not in the front of. He was the most worshipped throughout in the West, and not just his dead spirit. They were talking about the man himself being in the West. So now I have those records, and the deeper I got, the clearer it became, and then I started locating the cities all through the Americas, and not North America. Egypt says, man, those, they didn't call them Indians, but they said their cavalry is just so strong. They have bow and arrow cavalry. They are on horseback, and they are so strong, it's just devastating to us to try to take that land. So I tell you what, we're going to cut it right off at that river, and that's why all these pyramids are showing up from Mexico going down south. Because those Apaches and Comanches and whatever other tribes were there, black tribes and others, were whooping Egypt something fierce. They did leave the record, though, that Osiris got as far as Washington, D.C. He said, I got to this land, and in this land in the north, I got to the place of the river with the largest, widest mouth. And I immediately ran to the Mississippi. I started looking around trying to see, well, where is he? I'm trying to see where Osiris is. I see that city called Baton Rouge. I know that's talking about, it's got Aton's name in it, A-T-O-N, Baton Rouge. I know that's red, and I'm looking at it. It kind of sounds like it might be an Egypt connection. I'm looking for it, but that was wrong. They said, no, when you get to that place, that's Pateline. That's an island. That's a large island. There's no island here called no Pateline. And then understanding comes in. Says, wait a minute, look at the map again. See where the Mississippi River splits and one goes over toward New Orleans and the other one goes down toward Alexandria. I said, well, yeah. I said, well, you know, when you have a Mississippi River that splits in two, then the land between those two rivers is an island because on the south side of it is the Gulf of Mexico. All that land is an island. I was like, oh, man, here is Tytaline. But he says, but that's not where I went to. He said, that's not the river I'm talking about. He said, this one has a huge mouth. And then I looked further up, and there it was. There's the Potomac and all of those waterways coming together, the Chesapeake, and making this huge mouth to this river before it empties into the Atlantic. And they say, when you get to that place, there's going to be a city designed, laid out in the shape of a parallelogram, which is like a rectangle, square. And dadgummit, if they didn't lay out Washington, D.C. in the exact same configuration that ancient Egypt said that city would be in. And then they stuck an obelisk there. Egypt wrote about that. They just said it was too hard to keep control of that land with that very strong horseback army of bow and arrow shooting warriors. So then we go down toward the south. It's okay, we have the northern extent, let's go south. And we went through Central America, and I saw the cities there, and it will surprise you to know that Egypt actually built this city that we call Troy. Troy is in Central America. If you don't know the history of it before they start calling it Troy, you will never find it probably. But when Egypt wrote about it, they actually called it with those same letters. One word was T-R-W, Troy. But they said, well, we have another name for that city. We call it Kuban, K-U-B-B-A-N. It means the hidden city because Troy is way up from the water at a time where cities, major cities, were being placed on the waterway because that's how commerce was being conducted by ship. Troy was not. Troy was up in the rainforest, way up in the mountains, hidden. And so Egypt called it Kuban, the hidden city. And I'm going to give you something I've never told anybody other than close associates. You want to find Troy? You go find the city that Egypt says its name is Kuban, and you'll find this Maya city called C-O-P-A-N, Copan. And there you will have ancient Troy. That's the African city, Troy. So you go further south. You go through Central America. Then you go into South America. I'm looking for Thebes now. I've got Memphis, but they said Thebes is Thebes of the West. That's how they wrote it, Thebes of the West. I want to know where it is, and I found it. And the great thing about it is Thebes of the West is the city that David took. That's Jerusalem. It was built to honor the ancient Egyptian ruler, co-founder, the one that most of your listeners will probably recognize as Heru, that others call Horus. The city was built to honor him, and it was laid out in the shape of the hieroglyphic symbol that is his name. When you look in the ancient hieroglyphs that these Africans that we now call Egyptians left, when they wrote the word, the name Heru, it's the hawk in profile, the entire body with the wings on the side that gives you the word H-E-R-U, or Heru. And they laid out the city in that design. It's still there right now today. When you fly above and look down, there is that hawk laid out on the ground, the walls, the streets. The temples, everything that they had laid that they have knocked down, but the foundations are still there, shows you the outline of the name of the city. It was ancient Egypt's or ancient Africa's Heru. Now, they built a temple there to honor Heru. And some of the listeners and readers will know that one of the words that ancient Egypt used for temple was per, like a rectangle with an opening in it, almost like a house or a temple. And it was per, P-R, or P-E-R. And so when they have that temple there and they're talking about that place where this famous temple of Heru is, they would say the temple of Heru or Peheru. And so now we don't say Peheru, we simply say Peru. It's that simple. It's that clear. It's been standing in front of our eyes this entire time. But as long as you let others educate you and tell you what a thing means and you don't test it, you keep teaching the same errors. And that's what was going on. They were getting some knowledge, but they were teaching the errors with the knowledge that they were getting. The Egyptologists knew, but they knew that they were going to hide those Africans. They were going to hide that this was an African civilization because they were trying to justify blacks as being inhuman so that they could make wealth off of them as slaves. And you couldn't say that they were inhuman and uncultivated if you show them with these civilizations. So they distanced them. They divorced the Africans from the Egyptian histories, or they attempted to. When they came into the Americas in the 1500s, supposedly stumbling upon it with Columbus, you have to understand Columbus had just returned from West Africa. He had the maps, the same ones that had come over and became what we now call Aztecs, and they hated that. That was a derogatory term.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes that particular segment. As you can see, based on the information that the brother has given us, there's been a gigantic piece of the puzzle missing and a complete misunderstanding based on the physical, tangible evidence that the brother is presenting here this evening. His name is Horace Butler. He is the author of the book called When Rocks Cry Out. And what he has done inside of this book is he has laid the entire story out with biblical references matching as missing pieces of the puzzle, and also information and references where you can go and actually verify the fact of the Moorish presence in North, Central, and South America, Egyptian, the upper and lower kingdoms, Mount Sinai, Yahshua, we call Jesus, the descendants, the whole ball of wax, the story inside out has been delivered to us. I only brought a small segment of information here to give you the gist of what we are trying to do. And I see that my guests have arrived. I'm going to open up the lines and let him in here, and then we can continue this broadcast, okay? I'm going to say the area code 402. Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please?
It's Muhammad Bey, Brother Tahaka, checking in.
Okay, my brother. Peace be unto you. Could you go ahead and let us give praises and honor to the prophet and our creator? And I'll leave those honors up to you.
Absolutely. Well, today is the fifth day in the solar cycle called Ana'il, which is Friday. It's a Moorish holy day for Muslims all over the planet. I'd like to go ahead and give praise and thanks to Allah. Allah, Father of the universe, Father of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. And Allah is my protector, my guide, my salvation by night and by day through his holy prophet, Noble Drew Ali. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, my brother, what we did prior to you getting here, we give the background information and touched on some things to set the stage for this evening's broadcast. And, of course, today we are dealing with who are the true ancestors of Jesus Christ, who are the Moors, why are there African pyramids found all over the Americas today? Where are the true holy lands, as mentioned in the Bible? What is a nation? Why are the Moors considered Negro, colored blacks, and et cetera, today? Who are the real Americans? does Christianity harm people of African descent in America today? What does North, Central, and South America have to do with the ancient Egypt as it is described in the Bible? And those are the topics that we have listed. And, of course, we have an hour and 14 minutes left, so I know that there's a great deal of time that we can deliver a great deal of information. Okay? So,
yes, sir.
If you would, please, you give us some background information on yourself and your organization, and then we can get right on into the broadcast.
Yes, sir. I'm at Omaha, Nebraska Territory, presently, and will be for the rest of my life, with the Moorish American National Government, which is our government, unbeknownst to a lot of us still now today, because of the precepts and rules and regulations and the divine guidance that Noble Drew Ali gave us back in the early part of this century. I was given this post here by Dr. Akhenaten Pert Emharu Tutankhamun Bey, which is he's better known as Dr. Elihu N. Pleasant Bey. And he's the Grand National Chairman of the Moorish National Government. And I am a Moorish Consul General, Executive Ruler here in this Nebraska Territory. Brother Tahaka, while we're on the air, I want to thank you, brother, because you're the one to turn me on to this. And many praise and thanks of Allah be upon you and your family, brother.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. So we might as well get right cut right to the chase.
Okay.
Of course, I know you've already updated everybody on the history of the Moors. But if you go to the I'm going into the Book of Ali. I suggest that everybody go to SevenSealsPublications.com and get two of the greatest books of this of all time. One is called Exhuming of a Nation, and the other is called the Book of Ali. First, to understand who the Moors are, we must go to the divine origin of the Asiatic nations. Now, the divine origin of the Asiatic nations are the fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic nation of North America. Notice how it says North America. They need to learn to love instead of hate, learn the higher self instead of lower self. And this is the uniting of the Holy Quran of Mecca. But the key to civilization was and is in the hands of the Asiatic nations. That's the Moors, who are us. We're the ancient Moabites and the founders of the holy city of Mecca. I'm going to stop right there. The Moabites, if you go in the Bible and look in the Book of Matthew, and you read the first chapter, verse 1 through 17, gives the lineage of Jesus, which basically starts from it goes all the way back to Jacob, Judah, Perez, Zariah, Tamar, Perez, Hezron, Ram, Adimadab. He's the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Solomon. Solomon was the father of Boaz. Here we go. By Rahab. And Boaz is the father of Obed by Ruth. You could look at Jesus as being, well, Jesus was a Moabite in that lineage. So we've been connected through that lineage because we're the Moabites here in the North, what they call the North Gate Territory of the Grand Moorish Empire of the Dominion of Amexum, which is what you call North America. And you can just go to the text. You can read further into the text. If you go to the biblical text, that's the direct ancestors of Yeshua ben Yosef, who was really, that's really the name of Jesus, of Nazareth, the prophet. You can see Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 16. The other question was, brother?
You're doing great. You gave the key word because by tracing the lineage of Yahshua, but before we get started, let me say something. Let me add a little bit more reference materials that we can use to get some clarity on some things. First of all, I learned from investigation of a brother's book by the name of Walter Williams. He wrote two different books. The first book was entitled the historical origin of Christianity, and then he wrote
yes,
the historical origin of Islam. And he has an entire chapter devoted to the alphabet J, as it appears in the English language. And he states in that book that prior to the creation of the Gutenberg Press that occurred right,
right.
around the 16th century by Van Lierstedt, removable print, there was no alphabet J in the English language.
That's
so
right.
What had to
That's
occur
correct.
When the books were printed, they added that alphabet J, and now we have all these terms like Jew, Joshua, and all these Jesus and all that using the alphabet J. But this was never explained to us, the origin and the fact that these people were born in the first century, so they could never have been named this way. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to throw the Bible away. We don't want to stumble over and make it a big deal about the alphabet J. We can move forward and go ahead and use the documents with just simply that in mind. And but
absolutely,
I wanted to point
brother,
out
absolutely.
Those people who want to do the research. The brother who wrote the book, his name is Walter Williams. The title of the book is The Historical Origin of Christianity, and the second book is The Historical Origin of Islam. So we're
sure.
right on.
To my library.
Okay,
yes,
you have those already?
Correct. Oh, yes, sir. You're correct about that. Well, one of them, you turned me on to Walter Williams last time we spoke. I've been doing
more
research, but you're right about that because the letter J wasn't introduced into the alphabet until the, what, 1600s?
Yeah.
The completion of it.
Yeah.
Now, basically, what I want to do at this point, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay. What I want to do at this point, I noticed on the footnote you had on the screen there, I want to get right to the point about how Christianity, basically, it's from my observations of it, as basically they've taken the prophet Yahshua ben Yosef, or Jesus of Nazareth, and they've taken him, you can look at it, they've taken the mythical Jesus, used it allegorically, and also taken the historical Jesus and buried him. And this has been the problem with our people, because what they've done is taken the prophet, falsified the identity of the prophet, therefore used by the so-called Roman Catholic Church to subjugate the darker-skinned peoples of the earth. Now, what I want to do right now is go into the beginning of Christianity briefly and explain to a listening audience how this is used as a war sanction tool, basically, once again, to subjugate the darker-skinned peoples of the earth all over the planet, the human family. Now, the foundation of Christianity actually began in Rome. And the Roman nations, they founded the church, the first church. By the way, that word church means circle.
Okay.
Now, Yehoshua, as I mentioned, he was of the true blood of the ancient Canaanites and Moabites. And he was inhabited in what you call Africa, which is really a continent named after General Africanus, who conquered northern Africa back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the European religion of what you call Christianity was founded in Rome. So the name Christianity derives from the Greek word, ioptic. Starts with X-P-I-O-T-O-C. Or Christus, later translation to the Greek, or Christ. That means anointed one. So Christus was later used by the European nations to anoint people in events like St. Christopher, or you call him St. Nick, or Santa Claus. Catholic Christ of Catholic Master Christ, Christmas trees, Christians, and Christians' names.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the foundation of this, basically, and you're going to notice a similarity here between the church and government. Now, the first church was not a religiously institution. It was a religious facility. It was a belief system. It was not that. That's what it was supposed to be. That was supposed to be for the poor people. But what they changed it into was a political gathering of Roman statesmen. And these were called the Senate. Sounds familiar? Sounds like the senators in Washington, D.C. Now, when this great meeting of these powerful Roman politicians and governors convened, The gathering was called the church, or the circle, or the meeting of these powerful men. That's similar to today's House of Congress. That's a gathering of senators and congressmen and representatives. They authorized to make and enforce laws, you know, from various states. But what they do was, under the Catholic Church and under the Popes of Rome, which is the head of the church, they use canon law and using statutes and codes. And therefore, this is how they go from land to land, country to country, subjugating darker-skinned peoples of the earth.
Okay.
Now, what you want to look at is, how is this affecting us? It's real simple. If you have a people that are living under a divine law, and you take that people and you sever their history from the divine creed of the ancestors, you get what? Slaves.
That's right.
You get slaves. And basically, that is what happened to us. Now, you got to understand some geology also about, especially in the Bible. I found this pretty interesting. If you go and look in the Bible, the Greeks actually translated what they call the book, what's called the Septuagint, and that's what basically the Bible is today. And that's a Greek translation of what they thought it would mean, because none of those people actually went to any of the pyramid schools in the Giza Plateau. The closest they might have got was they might have heard a convention or something by some rabbis, or, you know, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
But they never actually got to go to those schools. Now, what I found out was, in my research was, if you go to the Bible and you start reading back in the book of Genesis, the sons of Japheth,
mm-hmm,
were who? Gomer, Magog, and Madai, and Yavan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. Now, the word Madai basically means middle land. The third son of Japheth, and that's in Genesis 10:2 for those of out there that are taking notes. By the name which the Medes, you heard of the Medes and Persians before?
Yeah.
Well, the Medes are known on the Assyrian monuments, so that means they came before them. Yvon was the fourth son of Japheth. That's again, once again, that's in Genesis 10:2, whose descendants settled in Greece, i.e., the old ancient name for Greece was called Ionia. And that bears the name of Yvon in Hebrew. Now, Alexander the Great, he's called the king of what? Yvon, rendered in later translations as Grecia in the King James Bible. It's in the book of Daniel, 8:21, 10:20, and 11:2, and in Zechariah 9:13. So this word Yvon was universally used by the nations of the East as the European generic name of the Greek race. Now, right here, you got to remember that the Greek and the Roman Septuagint of 2,000 years ago is what we call the Bible today. This is what the prophet Drew Ali meant when he noted the foundation of Christianity began in Rome. The Bible was originally drafted from small, like I mentioned, small elements or sayings or hearsays from the sacred writings of the Pert-Imhuru. That's the Egyptian Book of the Dead, or coming forth by day and night.
Okay.
So what they did was, as history went on, they transferred a lot of this information into these writings, and they used these as war-sanctioned tools to conquer people. Similar to what they did to the so-called Africans in East Africa. They would go, the first thing they do is what? Take a missionary, right? And bring you the word of Christ. Before you know it, then you had the mercenaries in there. Then you'd have a government in there that wasn't your government. And then you'd be subjugated and you'd be a slave in your own land. And basically, it's the same scenario. It's been the same scenario basically for the last, I would say, 4,000 years.
Well, it's the same thing today. They substituted the term, and now they use what's called democracy.
Exactly.
Everywhere they went, if you're using something that works, and why would you change it? I mean, they came into the African continent, Kibalon there, in the ancient land, the motherland of Timaria, that part of Timaria, Mexum. And they came in and they began to make fun the African spiritualism and the gods that we already had. And they began to tell us, well, we were wrong, and we're going to introduce you to something different. Okay, because
everything on the planet.
One thing is certain, if you cannot control what a man believes, you cannot control that man.
That's correct.
So they have to gain physical control of the brain and get you to believe something different or interrupt what you already have to have a chance to interject their system of belief.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, and they have done that all over the planet. When they came into the Americas, and they dealt with the descendants of Chinese and Omax, the ones we're calling Indians today, they did the same thing. And you could tell those men who refused to accept their belief, because these are the men that fought against them. We have men like Geronimo and so on and so forth. But then when they got to Lower Egypt in Mexico and begin to fight against the Moors there, the Moors say, oh, no. So, you know, we think it's a wonderful story, but we're going to follow the teachings of our own ancestors. And, of course, they went to war because if I cannot control what you believe, I have no choice but to try to destroy you because I cannot take what you got. But then there, they drove them out, and the land became a separate country today because they held on to the beliefs and antiquity of their own ancestral beliefs. So you're absolutely correct in that.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And okay. Well, you know, everything from this planet now is artificial and falsified. Even the name of the planet, this is not called Earth, it's called Asia, with an H on the end of it, A-S-I-A-H. This is what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said when he said the Asiatic nations are the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the identity of the people that live in Asia. Akibulan, original name. Long time ago, the pharaohs gave permission after they dredged the Nile River from East, what you call East Africa today, all the way across the Great Atlantic or Atlantis mm-hmm. Islands, or at this time, when the Mexican was all in one piece, it was just dry land. Down through the Niger River, and then up through the Mississippi. And if you go back and read some of Abraham Lincoln's own speeches, because, you know, he grew up on the river, just to, you know, make a metaphor. He grew up on the river, and he said he used to call the Mississippi River Old Man Nile. Cairo,
yeah.
Illinois. When you talk about Egypt, the Dominion, the capital empire, you're just not talking about Cairo over there in the Giza Plateau. That empire stemmed all the way across the three-fourths across the earth at that time.
That's
right. Right here in Nebraska, or well, in Iowa, they have what they call the Serpentine Mounds, the seven pyramids. They're aligned up with the Great Wall of China. In the Northwest Canyon of the Grand Canyon, the northwest part of the Grand Canyon, northwestern corner, there's a temple of Isis there. There was a temple of Isis, Shiva, and Buddha in the walls in the Grand Canyon. That 1936 United States government had that part of the Grand Canyon cordoned off and sealed off where you couldn't get in there.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a wealth of information up under the ground. They said the Moors, we spend more time up under the ground. This tunnel's all the way from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast.
That's
right.
You can walk from New York City to California underground and never come
underground
once.
I live in
Florida, and right 40 miles off the coast of Florida in the Atlantic Ocean, there is a pyramid 400 foot high that's never been mentioned in the media. But the fishermen that's there, they say, oh, yeah, I know what, I could take it right there and show it to you. But it's
yes,
there.
Yes, sir.
So
in
order for the powers that be to maintain control, they have to do what is natural to do. If you take a plant that's beautifully grown and you pull that plant up by its roots, and you replant that plant that has been separated from its roots, its culture, its story, in antiquity,
yes,
you can fertilize it and water it all you want. It's not going to grow because it's been disconnected from its roots. And one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle is our story in this hemisphere, in the West. And if
exactly.
we pay close attention to what the Bible is saying and listen to and read every word and with this in mind, and an entirely whole new picture will emerge. Well, they're calling up there in Chicago, Illinois, Mecca. Over here, up in Lower Egypt, Mexico City, Central America and South America, Jerusalem and Peru, Moses wandering in the wilderness down in Amazon. You know, the mummies they found with substance of cocaine in them that was only found here in the West. And then
That particular plant only grows in South America, in the regions of the mountains in Colombia, Peru, you know, around in there.
Exactly. What they have done is they have given you part of the story and buried the most important, the place where they're gonna steal. We're gonna cover up everything about that, and we're gonna let you have all about over there in Africa. And about the great kingdoms you built over there, but we are not going to mention anything, but we're going to do the best we can to keep you from knowing anything about your story over here, which is one of the most important pieces of the puzzle that we have. And, I mean, I've been listening to the Moors. They've been coming up with bits and pieces of the puzzle and talking about the LSU mounds and golf courses where they have built golf courses and covered up ancient ruins. And now the other night, a brother Coleman told me that they found an Egyptian ship up under the Twin Towers that fell. They found a ship up there, ancient ship. Then we got Philadelphia mentioned in the Bible, and it makes all the sense in the world when we understand that the pharaohs and the ancient Kemetans were over here.
Yes, the collision sciences were already over here in what we call America, which really, if you take that word America, right, you take the word Amexum, and you take the word Africa,
mm-hmm.
take the two separate words, you take the A-M-E off of Amexum, place that by itself, those three letters, then you take the A-F off of Africa. You put that together, that spells America.
Yeah, I did a breakdown on that on one of my shows.
Yeah, I think that's what I might have heard of that, brother. You know, I studied. You know,
but that's just one way you could do it. You could do Timeri the same way because it's
exactly
this is your land too.
And if you go back that's Timeri is one of the ancient names. You know. The times change the name, right? But like the word Cairo, Kahira basically means Mars. And at one time, before the deportation of the moon from this mass of chunk of rock on here floating in space, the planet Mars used to be in the same orbit as where you see the moon at right now today. So we're talking about our people have been here longer than most scientists can probably even count.
That's
absolute truth.
Well, that's one of the major problems that they've been having because they dug up. I was listening to the divine minister, and he was telling a story about them digging up the bones of an ancient Africa right up there around where you live, up in that area there, dating back
mm-hmm.
over 10,000 years previously that they already thought was old enough. And after they got him up out, when they examined him to find out he was African, what they did was they brought in helicopters with gravel and covered up the site so that you can go back and dig up nothing. Because, see, once you steal something, I don't care how long you keep it, it still don't belong to you. It's always going to belong to the person that you stole it for. So, and once you tell a lie.
To the original holder.
That's right. Once you tell a lie, you're going to have to continue to do maintenance on that lie to make sure it still stand up. But this particular lie here, it's falling down. They're plugging up leaks. They're getting crutches and Band-Aids and everything else. Trying to make sure this right here, man. They were dumping whole boatload of artifacts in the Atlantic Ocean. You got artifacts they found all up and down the Mississippi River. And if you would go back to their ancient newspapers, their old newspapers, years ago in the 30s and 20s and stuff like that, you will find the archaeologists telling you about the find they will find they couldn't figure out. I remember once I was reading a story where they had dug down so many feet, hundreds of feet, and then they found that this little man, the statue of this little man, and when they dug him up, they said he was Chinese. And they said, well, that's impossible because the Chinese couldn't possibly have been over here because they both couldn't come across the Pacific Ocean because they needed strong boats and the currents were too powerful, so there's no way they didn't have them ships back in them days. So they failed to realize that the Earth was one landmass and the Chinese didn't need no boats.
They walked over here. Matter of fact, the gentleman's name you're talking about, you know, when you sign your signature to a piece of paper, John Doe, his name was Wando.
Yeah.
That's Xuando. And he was a Chinese Muslim. He was a surveyor, as a matter of fact. He came over here to survey the land, and we was already over here then, and there was some conflict that arose, and his superiors told him, we got to send the army over there to subdue these people. And he said, no, I cannot do that because these are my Muslim brothers. Same way with the Seminole tribe down where you live at. The Seminoles wear what? Silk shirts and turbans. They speak a form of Arabic. It's really amazing, but this is what happened to our people, basically. The reason we're in the position we're in today. First of all, we've been deceived as to the teachings of the prophets, because the prophets never brought religion, they brought law. In the first place,
right?
They brought the divine law, the ancient divine creed that was handed down from our ancient foremothers and forefathers through the law that was given to us by Allah himself. So we're direct descendants of the God. The pyramids represent that triangle or that triune principle, that big monument that's sitting in different parts of the earth. That represents the human brain. The three principal parts of the human brain are what? The hypothalamus, the pineal, and the pituitary gland. That triangle forms the energy flow that comes through your body to activate your body to make it operate autonomously.
Okay.
Right?
That's right.
So what happened to us was, just like it says, like you mentioned earlier in the conversation, the Bible, we should never get rid of that book because that book has keys in it. We just don't know how to read the keys.
That's right.
That's all it is. Once you learn the keys to the Bible really is a science book, actually.
Exactly. Give me an example. Everything matches.
That's right. I'm going to give you an example. Jesus is another word for justice, right? Now, that would be the allegorical term for it. The real term was Yeshua ben Yosef. At the time he was born, we was in the constellation of Pisces. These constellations, there's 12 constellations in the zodiac wheel. There's 2,160 years in each segment of time. Jesus was what you call a Piscean master because he ascended to a level above all other prophets before him. In that time frame he was in, 2,160 years. Also, Jesus was born of a virgin. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, truth was born in a certain constellation or alignment of stars. Well, another word for virgin, the virgin, his mother Mary, is an allegorical term, would be what? Virgo.
That's
so
right.
Truth was born in that time frame, in that Pisces, in that alignment. He was Yeshua ben Yosef was born exactly at the right time for him to ascend to his prophethood.
That's right.
Getting back to our subjugation. A lot of Moors is under the impression, and I heard the Grand National Chairman say this, I started studying on it, they're under the impression that this Treaty of Peace and Friendship,
yeah,
has got to really, it's like a treaty for us. But really, it's not. If you really, really read it and understand the wording in it, it's an international trade agreement. That's all it is. Now, who and in an international trade agreement, what do you have to have? You got to have three basic elements, right? You got to have sellers.
That's right.
That's with any trade agreement. Sellers, you got to have a product, and a buyer. So what category do we fit in them three? We're a product.
That's right.
The entire West African slave trade that was based on people as products and the foundation of the 1787 treaty was and solely is trade and commerce. So what they did was, forgive me for that error. The best known, there was three, first of all, let's get into Muhammad. The name Muhammad is derived from the word Hamida. Okay, that means to praise. So hence the name Muhammad means praiseworthy, as we all know that. Name's not new to the people of Arabia, because all male names, Muhammad is right now the foremost and most popular known. Now, Muhammad bin Abdullah. Abdul means servant of, and Abdullah means servant of Allah. That was in 570 to 632. That's when he lived. He became the first prophet born among the sinful people of Arabia. Yet remember, all the prophets were sent to everybody that was oppressed in the time frame when they were raised up. My question is to our people, who's the prophet that came to the so-called black man here in America? Well, we know who it is.
We know who that was.
And if you can go to the Quran, and the Majesty, and it tells you every 83 years at the close of a century, it says the Mujahideen will come, or the reformer.
Mm-hmm.
So Noble Drew Ali came back here in 1912.
That's right.
At the end of the 19th century, and the beginning of the 20th, he started his work, revealing these most valuable teachings to all of us to raise us up as the Moorish nation, to link ourselves back to our ancient foremothers and forefathers. So we could link ourselves back to the family of nations and become productive and industrious people, as our ancestors
That's
were.
Right.
The
That's
subjugation
right.
part came in when this treaty was announced. Some of the Moors over there, I'm gonna say Moors, I'm gonna say Arabs. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say it like that. They sold us. As a matter of fact, and you know, the church was supposed to be the keepers of the Islamic creed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And around 1432, they became quite traitorous. They was working both sides. I'll put it like that. It was helping the Arabs. It was helping the Europeans. Because at this time, even though the industrial age had started, they planned stuff 100, 200 years ahead. So whoever was in the seats of power at that time, they started their work.
Okay.
So what you got to do is you got to look at, from the time the great experiment took place right here in the Yucatan Peninsula, in what you call Northgate territory here, or Mexico, old Mex, right?
Uh-huh.
That's when the European was formed and made by our scientists.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know. They think that they came out like that, but they didn't come out the way they look now.
No.
One thing we couldn't put in them. We couldn't put that solar energy in them to keep them connected to the sun, which is the DNA code for you to get the melanin into your system to keep you, to protect you, actually, because it's like a spacesuit, really, what you got on. It's protect you from all, you know, cosmic energies that are of a much higher radiation degree than you would normally, a normal person would be able to stand. That's why we can stay in the sun a long time. There's nothing wrong with that. We call sun-kissed people, right?
That's right.
Now, here's the whole trick right here. I'm gonna make it simple because I know we're gonna run out of time. I want to learn some more from you, brother. But first of
okay,
all,
go ahead.
In the church, okay, in the church, you know the so-called Jewish people were under the religion of Judaism was under the Ten Commandments brought by Moses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was an adept master in the commissioned schools. He was raised by the Pharaohs, so he knew the science. This is why he was able to tell when the river would turn red, because right now you can look at a satellite picture. The Nile River, when it turns red every year, it's called the indignation period. It turns red every year. But he had to trick these certain people because it was not civilized, and his job was to teach civilization to the uncivilized. They had a code of 10 commandments. By the way, also Moses, I don't know the exact way, but he lost 32 of the original laws during his travels, right? And that's why they ended up, this is the most famous of the laws, is the Ten Commandments. That's what they were under. What's the first?
Are you there? Hello? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think my brother call has dropped, and we're going to wait for him to come back in. And but in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and pick up where we left off at. The brother's dead on point. And are you there, brother?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, all right, well, go ahead.
All right. If you look at the Ten Commandments, you go to mm-hmm. You shall have no other gods before me. So Yahweh was their god. You can't make mm-hmm. any idols, although some of them did when they strayed out by themselves, they made their golden calf image. You shouldn't take the name of the Lord in vain. You got to remember the Sabbath. So, you know, some of them probably tried to honor all that, but what they did was, this is the biggest kept secret since we found out that Yehoshua ben Yosef was the real name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Under Jewish law, since they didn't have no sovereign laws for executions at that time, they would take. They would have this ritual. They would take once a year, they'd take all the so-called criminals or people that was just poor trying to eat, take care of themselves. Some of them sound like us today, all these brothers locked up in the penitentiary because they're trying mm-hmm. to eat, right, and feed their families. They mm-hmm. take all their sins, and they heap them on one man, and then they exile him, because once again, they didn't have any laws for executions.
That's
now, the government of Rome, they was only warranted executions for those convicted of high violations of their laws. So you know the story about Pontius Pilate, or Tiberius Maximus. What did he tell the people? He said, what do you want me to do with him? He hasn't broken any laws. He's just talking, really. He said, mm-hmm. you take care of it. So they conspired, and you know the story about Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees conspired against our prophet, our brother. And what they did was they didn't kill him, though. Once again, they couldn't kill him. They had to get rid of him. So it was like a plot. Conveniently faked his execution on both records on both sides right now today. So 2,000 years ago, political Europe was compiled of provinces, villages, and tribes, and mostly Romans and Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing, too. A lot of people also, a lot of our scholars conveniently leave out, except a few just brave, they conveniently leave out the history of the Moors and ancient Britain. The Moors and ancient Britain. The Celts, the Picts, the Dogs. The Saracens, well, they were headed towards Spain, toward Al-Andalusia. All of these people look just like us.
Oh, yeah.
The original. Any Irish person, if you go to Ireland right now and start talking about black people, they look at you kind of frown on you. But if you say Moor, they perk right up. Oh, yes, the Moors. But some of them, their ancestors was Moors, right?
Oh, yeah. What is one thing? What I started this broadcast off is to try to give us the missing pieces to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And but as far as Europe is concerned, the Europeans over there in that land over in Europe, in England and Britain and places of this nature, they are actually they're quite proud of you because they know that if it wasn't for the African Moors, they wouldn't have what they have. So they have parades, they dress up like you. It's just a part of their life. They even go around playing games and stuff, like soccer and stuff, with T-shirts on with your picture on it. But now when you come over here, where they sitting on top of your land and where all this evidence at, they don't want. Oh no, these are Negroes. We don't want their color of black, and we don't want nothing. Them to know nothing about their history over here, because once you understand that this over here and over there is a mirror that reflects each other, you got the same image over there as you do over here. But what they have done is covered up your history in this hemisphere. Totally, we totally landlocked. We don't at any time they ever mention anything about South America. And I don't hear nothing about Central America. This is always South America. If they do mention anything, it don't have nothing to do with African people whatsoever. And so we talk about what goes on in America. If we show you anything about Africa, it's going to be either about animals or poverty or death. But we are not going to, definitely not going to go back into ancient history about your people in this hemisphere, because if we do that, the jig is up. Well, I'm here to tell you this evening that the jig is officially up, because what you are saying now and what we are touching on, and you didn't get in when we first opened up, because I did a 20-minute segment, and first I did a 4-minute segment, 4 minutes and 31 seconds, and then I did a 21-minute and 12 seconds. Well, this brother here drops the atomic bomb on our history in this landmass, North, Central, and South America.
That's just
and
like the West African slave trade. They our geographical, our GPS system in our brain is being scrambled. That's all it is. They probably brought about maybe, I would say maybe 1% of slaves across the Atlantic. I was in the Navy, man. I know that's an arduous journey. That is 9,000 miles across the water, and it was on wind-powered ships. There's no way in the world they could have done that like they said they did, because they still be bringing people over here. What they did was they messed up our geographical location. They took some of us from so-called South America, brought us up here, sailed us up the Mississippi River, took us inland, took some of them out, moved them down in the southwest, in the northeast. They just confuse our GPS locator, that's all. But
you know what else they did?
First of all,
Alabama and Mississippi right next door. They'll kidnap you in Mississippi, bypass Alabama, and sell you in Florida. And then kidnap you from Florida and sell you in Georgia. So I mean the key is we was already here. Now hold on one moment, brother. I got a caller with his hand raised at area code 612, and open up the line and I'll get in here. Area code 612. Okay, well he's not willing to answer a question. But let's go ahead and continue though.
Okay. So what happened during that trade agreement?
Mm-hmm.
This is what put our head on the chopping blocks. Because George Washington, you have to remember, when they started this country was not for us, as many of us still think. I mean, I'm sitting up here looking at these elections. I watch these elections. We're still under the impression that we're United States citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Says right there in the amendments that you're not. Africans will never be what? Citizens of what? The United States. And they're trying to tell you, are free persons born? What is a person? A person is what? In Black's Law Dictionary is what? A corporation, artificially constructed person. So once
anything other than a living, breathing being.
That's right. No, it's not a flesh and blood person. So once they tagged us in the U.S. nigger industry, quite my language, which was started here, and I'll prove that when I go to the divine origin of the Asiatic nations and Egypt, the capital empire of the Dominion of Africa. Because it mentions nothing in there, as we know the teachings, me and you know the teachings, maybe the audience doesn't. But it says nothing in there about what? Any Negro, colored, black, or African-American people. NBCAs. I added, I know the Grand National Chairman put the NBC on there, but I had to add the, I had to add the African-American on there.
Right.
But there's no such thing as them type of people. So where did these people come from? They was manufactured and made right here for one purpose, and that was to work. George Washington, he was a pale-skinned, free, Western Freemason, and the Masonic Order, really the Moorish science that we taught him, right? Because they had to be, they were already warmongering people in the first place, so they had no really no civilization principles, so they had to be taught before we could let them loose here in the land, right?
That's right.
So what happened, after that happened, they came up with, you know, the Constitution. And if you read the Constitution, it tells you right there. It says for our prosperity. They ain't talking about us.
That's right. Well, we they had
right
already
the
said all men are created equal.
Right.
In the beginning, all men are created equal. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Now, the people that's doing the writing are Freemasons. They all pale-skinned. They old, 21 years old, able-bodied men. And they all slave owners. George Washington, he
exactly.
had four in the face. So now how
exactly.
in the world is he going to make you a citizen when he already got you in chains and shackles and slaves?
That's my
then
point.
Then he come on
and
down and they say, bring you in now as three-fifths
right.
of human being. But the most interesting thing is that because all of the wealth was concentrated in the South, and that's naturally the way it should have been, because you have brothers and sisters down in the southern part of the United States who have been in cahoots in connection with the their great ancestors, the urban lower Egypt, and you know the, all these patriarchs and stuff, even though they didn't make proper records on that. Well, they did, but they were destroyed. But these people here, they had all the wealth concentrated down there. So up there in the north, they didn't have that kind of prosperity. So the Northern said, well, look, we're going to break them off from this union thing you got. And we're going to go and do our own thing. But President Lincoln, on the executive order of the 13th Amendment, abolished slavery, which means everything that they had created, the manufacturing of Negro, colored, and black, the relationship, the word, the name, everything was abolished on the executive order of the 13th Amendment. And it was at that point that we were supposed to come together as a nation at that particular point.
Exactly.
But we had been hit in the heart so hard, in the head so hard with slavery, by separating the mother from the children, and the mother from the father, and the father from the children, and all of this stuff, and killing us, and striking fear in us, and all this stuff, till we could not muster what it would take to become a nation at that point, even though we had been set free. Some of us was so damaged mentally that we refused to leave the plantation. So what they did was they re-enslaved us under the table by adding the 14th and 15th Amendments to the Constitution, and through the words of labeling you as all persons.
All
and
persons.
We know they did it because when we get our birth certificates, after all of that has been done, they still got us labeled a mother and father's name under the race as Negro or color. And then the state has stamped it with their stamp on it, which is a smoking gun.
That's true. Now, you have to look at, now, if we go back, you know, looking at the prophet Jesus or Yahshua, we go back, we've seen what happened, how his death was faked. Like, because he's still taught. You know, in the Circle 7 Quran, it tells you his travel.
Uh-huh.
Right, we know that, but everybody doesn't have that literature. But I advise the listening audience to get you a Circle 7 Quran. And also, brother, you mentioned about the, 1865, when Lincoln?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you look on our national what? Seal. It says right there, the Moorish American government says 18 what?
65.
You was exactly correct when you said that. We could have been.
Because we
were
free at that time.
When Emmanuel Mualli Ben Bay taught George Washington the science of isonomy or government or right law, at that time, you have to remember, he was an astrologer too, an astronomer. And he knew by the movement of the stars he knew exactly when he, like when he first built the first capital in the United States was where? Philadelphia, right?
Uh-huh.
He had something to do with that. Then he turned around and went to Washington, D.C. And if you look from the air, you see the pentagram. The overlapping star that represents what? The oldest representation of what? Human being on the planet. The five-pointed
right.
star. 72, 72, 72, 72, 72. Comes to what? 360
degrees. 360
degrees.
I wanna pick up here where you left off at in Nobudru Ali, the divine origin of the Asiatic nations. And I'm going to start with number two. And it says here, the key of civilization was and is in the hands
yes.
of the Asiatic
yeah.
nations, Moorish, who were the ancient Moabites and the founders of the holy city of Mecca. The Egyptians,
right.
who were the Hamites and of a direct descendant of Mizraim and Arabians, the seed of Hagar, Japanese and Chinese, the Hindus
right.
of India and descendants of the ancient Canaanites, Hittites, and Moabites
correct.
From the land of Canaan, the Asiatic nations and countries in North, South, Central America, and the Moorish Americans and Mexicans in North America, Brazilians, Argentinians, and Chileans in South America, Colombians, Nicaraguans, and the native of San Salvador in Central America, etc. All of these are Muslims. Not
That's
Muslim.
Correct.
But Muslim.
Muslim.
Now
that is that word Muslim, that means, you know
mm-hmm.
what? I looked up, I got a 1985 Webster's Dictionary Encyclopedia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you the etymology of how the English language started and even the wars and everything that the Europeans went through and how the language changed. That
mm-hmm.
word Muslim is actually a derivative. It is, because the original etymological word of it is Muslim, which means what? Means one whose will is in harmony with the great deific will.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. One in the will. Because, if we can understand one thing, that we are spiritual beings
exactly.
having a human experience with this physical body that we have, is a container for what was created by the Creator in His image and likeness, and He's a spirit. So therefore, so are we. But we keep
exactly.
getting
That's what
caught up on the man and the woman.
We get caught up in the lower self, in
That's
our
right.
lower self. We're looking at material things. Like I said, like I mentioned earlier, the word Asiatic really means earthbound. That's the state of being earthbound. That means the first manifest human, man of hue, God in flesh, mortal. In other words, when we changed our vibratory rate from the higher, we started, what, taking on what? Clothes of flesh. That's why I mentioned earlier in the conversation. We are so old that they probably ain't even got a computer that can calculate how long we've been here. And then again, you got to look at it this way. We wasn't always here either.
Hmm.
No. You know, a lot of
we
people
got,
talk about we talk about space people. We you know we done been all over the just for example, the Pharaoh, Paru, was sitting in the circle of his priests inside this chamber, inside the mystery schools. And he would lift the veil. That means he could transcend himself into different dimensions and come back, he'd go where he wanna go. Come back. Bring information, and then send that information through the morphogenetic grid of the planet, which you call the ley lines of longitude and latitude.
There you go.
That's how information would get all through the planet.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, we can still do the same thing today. All
yeah, we
of
can.
Well, God, me and, you know, and actually, to be honest with you, I don't talk about it that often, but I have already been over there. In what they're calling the Middle East, which is no such thing. But I've been over there. I've also been to Rome, and they got a habit too, because they, you know, when I be going to different places, they be there to greet me, and I be like, how you got here? You know, what are you using? What are you so I got a way to tap into something, and they be meet me over there. But I have been in and out of the body. I have done things of what we would call miracles and stuff, but actually it's all the natural workings of the God-man. It's just that when you use your spiritualism, when you take your what the creator have allowed already come into your possession, which is the instruction manual, and you study it, that breaks the spirit so that you can actually do anything you want to do, provided you do the right thing.
That's right. If you go back, I mean, we have to go back. That's what Noble Drew Ali stressed. We must go back and go back to what to the ancient and divine creed of our foremothers and forefathers. And that creed was originally taught to all the prophets and angels and masterminds. Now it's being realized here in the West, right? And it's brothers like you, brothers like Grand National Chairman and the Grand Sheikh. I'm going to give a shout-out to everybody. We can't forget the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We can't even forget Master Farad Muhammad. We cannot forget the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. All these men, all these people that came up with this knowledge, this is all for our freedom.
That's
all
right.
Of it.
There's nothing in
it. It just comes in a lineage.
We don't have anything going on that has occurred by accident. Everything was dead on time because, see, we have to understand that there's somebody at the helm of this thing. And it's guiding us because, see, everything is in order. All nature is in order. You can take a flock of birds, they can all take off at the same time. I mean, thousands of them. And then they can all turn right at the same time. Then they fly a little while, and they all turn left at the same time. Everything is in order.
That's correct. Now, you know, even Allah, Father of the Universe, you know, it's uncircumscribable and incomprehensible. He is the creator of all law, or everything that's of a biochemical nature, and flesh and blood, water that runs off electromagnetic current, which is called a human being.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to submit to a law. There's the law of light. The sun.
That's right.
Takes 8 minutes and 43 seconds for the sun to hit the planet Earth, spinning at 1,037 1/3 mile per hour, causing the what? Law of gravity to go into effect. That's what keeps us down here.
Yeah.
The stars, Sirius A and Sirius B, transmit constantly.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Take it easy.
Yeah.
go ahead. Go ahead. I was trying to keep it nailed down. Would you go ahead and bring it on?
I was just going to say, them two stars right there, when you're looking at the sun, you think you're looking at the sun, but you're really looking at a pocket of gas. That light code transmission is coming from them two stars. That's the DNA code from other star systems that's got your whole makeup and being. And like they say in the Bible, it'd be a new creature made. If we can get ourselves cleaned up good enough, yeah, we'll turn into something else, a higher form of human being. That'll make us more in tune with the Creator or Allah Himself. Then we truly will be the God Man.
There's a whole lot of information if we know where to look, and I keep recommending brothers and sisters to get the Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, the Book of Ali, and there's another book that I would have you purchase as well, and this book is called Of Water and the Spirit by Maladoma Patrice Somme, because in there you will see the God man in full force. There was a time when the Europeans were attempting to build this road and through the jungle. But they run across this huge tree. This tree was wider than a house. And I mean, it was tall, it was big. And there's no way for them to go around it because it's going to alter everything. So they brought in all the machinery and all this stuff and all this old ancient equipment that we have better today. But they tried everything they could to move that tree, and they couldn't move it. So finally one of the Moors say, well, look, I'm going to go get the priest. And when he got the priest, and the priest come before the tree, performed the ritual, and chanted for a while. And then after he was done, he came before him. He said, okay, the tree has agreed to move. And they went to cranking up all the equipment. He said, whoa, you don't need all that. He said, just tie your rope around and put it all out of the way. And that's exactly what happened. They were like, where he came from.
That's correct.
So you have powers, and what we're attempting to do here is give you all the background information and all the pieces of the puzzle so that you will be able to use these things and instead of little isolated incidents that be happening to people. And they be and a lot of things that happen to a lot of us gods, and we ain't told nobody about it because we afraid of being criticized. No one about to think we're crazy. But you have to understand who you are, and this is
right.
This explains why there's so much money being invested in the cover up of your culture and your story. Because if you got the roots connected to a plant is going to grow and flourish. So they got to make sure that the roots stay disconnected. They'll give you $1 million.
That's correct.
Keep finding out who you is because you're too powerful. There's nothing they can do with you.
Well, you know, brother, once we connect ourselves back to the source, right, then and only then can the human family be able to worship under their own vine and fig tree and have peace. But what everybody's not understanding is that we are the key to civilization because we're the, what, founders. So we got to go back to our original state, and we got to go just like the prophet said. We got to give Christianity back to the European. That's their form of worship. Although it is falsified, that's their form of worship. That's not working for us because it's fraudulent. It's not going to work. We can't live under fraud law. We have to live under
that's
what?
Right.
All law. Right? And you God of the universe. And right now today, it's quite evident. Look at some of the gods. Now, anything like in the Constitution of Mayotte, if you ever get a chance to read all of it and understand it, it says right there what? You don't worship nothing but what? The God within you. Anything that comes out of you, you start worshiping that, it leads you astray. Here's some of the things that kill us. Well, we got a lot of Masons, right? That's supposed to be free, ancient, and free and ancient, free people. That's not true. They're still slaves. They were slaves. They're at the top of the barrel. You got competition. Check it out. Football, baseball, hockey, horse racing, gambling. What's the saying in the Quran? What's the saying in the Holy Quran Sharif? Sport and play. It's bad in the eyes of Allah. Right. Christianity. Wars, which is all connected. Prison systems. Incarceration houses where they just herd people in, taking your rights and making them into crimes to lock you up or to incarcerate you to make you what? Make them wealthy. It's based off of money. Hate.
And to keep you, all of these devices are pretty much distractions because they don't want you to understand the basic principles of law, which encompasses the same spelling in the word itself, law, air, and water. If you understand that that is the domain of your power and what you are supposed to be controlling. So what they do is they keep you distracted on a daily basis, every hour and every minute and every second of the day. TV, it rolls eternally, 24 hours a day, and it never stops. Then they have invented other things to take up all the rest of the seconds of the day, anything to keep you from doing any research and thinking and investigating and coming into the knowledge of self. Because that's what it's all about.
Brother.
Keep you from knowing who you are.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, that's funny you should mention that because, as I mentioned earlier, a little bit of what going in our conversation about frequencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
We operate off a higher vibratory rate, right? What they're doing is jamming our signals. Like you said, we got video games. All these things emit radiation and vibration, right? Right now, they are. The newest thing they got out right now is what you call ELF. That's extra low frequency. And you know we can't operate off of that.
Okay.
That's what we've been reduced to. That's why if you watch some of our people right now today, in 2012. If you watch their movements, their body language, they're slothful.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they can barely make it, just barely even make it enough just to go to work, get home, pay their bills, but not to think about how can I make my community better? You know, how
yeah.
can I help free my people? We can't even think to do that now. We're actually in a bad situation. But like
I said,
it's brothers like you and other forerunners beside me. I'm new in this, right? And I'm really still learning, and I'm still on the path of wisdom. And I'm glad I got the opportunity tonight to express myself and to pass on what I know to others that might not know.
Well, I'm certainly glad to have you on. We only have 9 minutes and 47 seconds, and so I'm going to state here, for those of you who tuned in late, you are listening to Dr. Ishmael L. Muhammad Bey, a citizen of the Moorish American National Government. And for those of you who want to know more about the Moorish American National Government, you can go to moorishamericangov.org. You can go to sevenseedspublications.com, and there's a registration form there. You can register as a citizen of your own government, and by doing so, for the first time in the history of this country, you will be a citizen of your own government. And for the books that mentioned at the outset of this program, the first book I mentioned was When Rocks Cry Out, and that was a book that was written by Horace Butler. And then we have Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, and written by Elihu Pleasant Bey, and also the Book of Ali that was written by Elihu Pleasant Bey. And then we mentioned the book Of Water and the Spirit by Maladoma Patrice Somme. And all of these books here contains everything that you would need to be free, and also the information that you would need to exercise your God powers. Because, see, once we know that certain things are real, we can do the investigation, and we should certainly put aside looking at television and all this foolishness and playing games and being involved in competition. We don't have time for that. We're on the verge of recognition of a government, a national government. We got a tremendous amount of people in excess of 60,000 that's already citizens. The divine minister teaches 7 days a week, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the way to access the national conference call is simply by dialing 760-569-7100. And the access code is 437-966-pound. And also, the ladies are on Tuesday night at the same number, at the same time. And this happens 7 days a week at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get your education on there. And
brother,
that's
I demonstrate something else.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, yeah, brother. We still rolling. We got 7 minutes.
This is to the listening audience. Our people suffer from another thing too, called religious controversy. I'm not going to have time to go through all of it, but I want to read a very important part of it.
Okay.
The remedy that we need is truth, and that remedy was brought by Jesus, Muhammad, Confucius, and all the other prophets, which remedy was truth. The nations today don't want truth because it's too stern, but until we all accept the truth and find out where it is and what it is, there will continue to be religious controversy. And the religious controversy between our people is what is killing us as a people. We need to be one people. We have one identity. We know scientifically, anthropology-wise, scientifically, by blood, and even the European scientists know who we are. We're Moors, ancient navigators of the seven seas and the seven chakras of the energy centers that are connected to the great beyond, which is connected to the great Allah.
Mm-hmm.
With that, brother, I don't have anything else to say tonight. I'm glad I had the opportunity to speak tonight. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, Brother Tahaka.
All right. Well, I tell you, brother, I certainly appreciate you coming on and aiding me in dropping this science. So so that the brothers will, and sisters will be able to have something to work with and opposed to involved in the same thing over and over and over 365 days a year, and their nations are in shambles and not being able to move forward. And so it's
exactly
an opportunity for them now to get in touch with what we have said and get in touch with the materials and access to the books and stuff that's been presented here this evening. And for those of you who are listening, we are once again we are talking with Dr. Ishmael Muhammad Bey of the Moorish American National Government. And we started out with who are the true ancestors of Jesus Christ, and the brother just explained to us in the beginning that we are the ancestors. Also, we put the puzzle together for you so that you will understand that what appeared over in ancient Kemet on the northern Africa was also mirrored over here in Mexico City, Central and South America. All of the characters that was mentioned in your book was here, and as well. We have 4 minutes and 21 seconds left. I see I got a caller on the line, but we do not have time to open up the line, so I'm going to close out the broadcast. And once again, my brother, I certainly appreciate you being here, and we're going to talk later. Okay?
Yes, sir. Islam.
Islam, my brother. Okay, ladies
Islam.
And gentlemen, that concludes our broadcast. And until next time, I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and we really appreciate you listening in.
I'm the one that bought the pants and tried to drive them.